Well, friends, we are in the Advent season, and Advent was one of those things that I'm convinced that we need to relearn every year. And believe it or not, for those of you, some of you may know, some of you may not know, but this is the new year of the church. And so every year, the church begins this New Year's celebration. And so it's fitting, Kathy, that Ryan's birthday is today. That's a joke, by the way. And that's now online on video. It's a bad idea. But today is the new year of the church. And so the church begins to think about who we are and begins to kind of retrace our steps and go back to the beginning. And as we go back to the beginning, we also are reminded that Jesus came, but that Jesus is returning again. And so we celebrate the coming of Christ and ultimately his return, because we know that as Jesus returns, that Jesus is going to restore all things, that he's going to make everything right. And believe it or not, we don't wait around, we don't wait for Jesus to make those things right, because when Jesus came, he said that the kingdom has come. It is present, it is invading where we're at. And so here we are in the midst, at the beginning of Christmas season, expecting this invitation and expecting this invasion of Jesus into our lives. Now, this time of year also causes and also makes us pause and reflect a little bit. Now, for some of us, especially those of us yesterday, right? Yesterday was not pause and reflect, was it? I mean, it was go, go, go. I don't know how much sleep Sue has gotten this week. Probably not a lot. But this is a time of year where we begin to pause and we begin to think about those things that really matter. And realistically, we begin to slow down. And my question for you before we move on is this. Are you finding places to slow down? Are you finding ways to pause in the midst of this season where we reflect and we think about Christ? As we think about Christ and as we move forward and what God wants to do in our lives, we also are in this season of expectation and anticipation of what God will do. And today's sermon title is Expecting Miracles, or Expecting the Miraculous. And so, church, are you ready for God to do some miraculous things? Are you ready for God to do some new things in your life? Because it is a new year, right? And as we enter into a new year and a new season in our lives, are we ready for God to do some different things in our lives? And would we know a miracle if it showed up? Now, when Mary and Joseph hear this proclamation by an angel, the angel says to them, "You will bear a son and call him Emmanuel," meaning God with us. Mary and Joseph were given a clear picture of what God was going to do. They were given a clear picture of what the miraculous was in their lives and what God was going to do in their lives. And so church, has God spoken? And would you be aware if God said, "Hey, I want to do a miracle in your life. I want to bring about the miraculous. I want to do something in your life." And I'm convinced that what our world needs now, probably more than anything else, is for you and I to open our eyes and expect God to do the miraculous. Not only to expect God to do the miraculous, but for God to use you and I to bring about the miraculous things that he wants to do in our lives. And unfortunately, we can miss Jesus in the chaos and in the clutter of shopping and holiday busyness. We can begin to miss this miracle as those things begin to clutter our lives. But what our world needs, what people around us need, is for you and I to be aware of the miracles that God wants to do in you and in me. I'm convinced that God wants to birth a miracle through us, and that is about bringing God's reign into our lives. But I want to tell you this, church, you are God's miracle. And I think we need to say this out loud, okay? So I need you to play along, right? So I'm going to count to three, and I need you to say, "I am God's miracle." Can we do that? All right, one, two, three. I am God's miracle. And whenever you and I see that, whenever we begin to understand those things, we see that the same Holy Spirit who conceived Jesus in Mary's womb indwells every one of us who follow Jesus. And he calls us into these places to do the miraculous. God uses the ordinary things to do extraordinary. And I think we need to be reminded of this. And so I want to read you a passage speaking about Jesus. And in Isaiah 53, the writer says this: he had no beauty or majesty to attract us to him, nothing in his appearance that we should desire him. He was despised and rejected by mankind, a man of suffering and familiar with pain. If you've ever experienced any problems in your lives, if you've ever been rejected by others around you, if you've ever suffered, you are someone God can use. And the writer, Isaiah, lets us know there was nothing special about Jesus to pay attention to. He showed up just like you and just like me, a human who was not that attractive, despite how many pretty pictures we give him, with long, flowing, blonde hair, right? I mean, that is the modern American Jesus. He has got long, I don't know why blonde. I mean, what is wrong with dark-haired people, right? But he's always got these great, flowing locks that just look amazing. Exactly, Kyle. Kyle's pointing to that picture over there. But he always is looking good. But Isaiah tells us, hey, he showed up as someone you would not expect, someone that you weren't sure who he was. And he goes on, he says this: like one from whom people hide their faces, he was despised and we held him in low esteem. Because he shows up as a common everyday person in a common everyday place. Nazareth was not one of those places that you would expect the Messiah to show up in. The people were not expecting Jesus to show up in the way that he did. But God is not one of those who just wants to use the pretty things. God, so if you're good looking this morning, hey, you can be used too, right? But God is about doing things that are completely uncommon, completely that make no sense around us. Think about all the people and all the things that God used throughout the entire course of the Bible. It seems like the greatest person ever to live was born in a manger in one of the least likely places on earth. When God brings about his message, he doesn't bring it about through Rome. He doesn't bring it about through Babylon. He doesn't bring it about through Egypt, through Assyria, the powerful nations of the day. God brings about his miraculous work through the Jews, a group of people that were seldom in power, or hardly ever in power, that in all reality should have been gone. But this is how God works. God brings about power without power. God brings about great things from small things. Think about this. The powerful Goliath was taken out by who? David, the shepherd boy. And throughout history, these are the people that God uses. In a culture where the eldest son got all of the wealth, where the eldest son got all of the inheritance, and the youngest son did not get anything, who is it that God uses? God uses Abel, not Cain. He uses Isaac, not Ishmael. God uses Jacob, not Esau. And David is in that mix as well. He uses David, not David's older brothers. God chooses old Sarah. You got to be careful how you say that, right? God chooses old Sarah instead of young Hagar. God chooses Leah, not Rachel. He chooses the older sister, not the younger sister. And Rachel is the one that Jacob loves, and she is the most attractive. And yet God uses Leah. God chooses women who can't have children. He uses Rebecca, who can't have children, Hannah, who can't have children, Samson's mother, who can't have children, Elizabeth, John the Baptist's mother, to have children when in all reality she should not have done it. But God uses these kinds of people. God uses everyday, ordinary people that you would not recognize to bring about his miraculous work. The kind of people God uses and chooses to bring about his healing in the world are those who are completely unlikely. Mary says this. She says, "My soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has been mindful of the humble estate of his servant. And from now on, all generations will call me blessed." Mary recognizes that I'm humble. I'm someone that doesn't have a good history. I'm someone that doesn't have wealth. I'm someone that's uneducated. I'm someone that everybody would count out. And yet, God wants to use the small things, wants to use the humble things to bring about his miraculous work. And miracles happen when you and I are willing to be used. That's how God works. If you look at every miracle in the Bible, every miracle that ever happened, you know what needed to take place? A human had to take a step. That when Moses is at the Red Sea, what does Moses have to do before the miracle ever happens? He has to take a step, or the sea does not part. Mary and Joseph had to say yes. Mary had to say, "Yes, use me." She had to make the move. And it's the same way for you, and it's the same way for me, that God invites us and God wants to do some miraculous things in us and bring about life change. You know, Mary and Joseph, when you think about this, do you think Mary and Joseph had a silent night? Anybody give birth? I never have. Praise God. Right? It was not silent. I mean, as I think about that, everybody needs to cover their ears. When I think about, right, I'm going, okay, so how sanitary is hay? I mean, where does all that go? I mean, I've seen TV, you know. I know how, but where does the mess go? I mean, where's the, you know, and then the animal, anybody been around a stable? Man, it is smelly. So it was not a silent night. I mean, we think about, okay, all our Christmas carols and all those things are awesome, and all our Christmas celebrations are awesome. But if you get down to the nuts and the bolts of this thing, it was not pretty. There was no tour of churches, right? But here's the point. Here's the big idea. Here's what I don't want you to miss. In order for God to birth miracles, someone's got to make a move. Someone's got to take a step, and God wants to birth a miracle in you, and he wants to birth a miracle in me. This is what it means to be used by God and to be favored by God. And Jesus comes along, and he shows us what it's like to live a sacrificial life and find life. And the miraculous does not appear until you and I make moves toward Jesus. And if my life is going to be meaningful and my life is going to be miraculous, I must be willing to give it away. And I'm convinced, and here's what I want to end with, that what the world needs now more than anything else is for you and I to embrace how it is that God wants to use us. That what it is that God needs us to do love. That God needs us to take some steps. And I'm going to give you a quick example of this. So last week, we went to the nursing homes, and Ben came, and he was there, and Ben went around to all these older folks, you never say old people, right? And he went around, and he had conversations, and he sat down face to face, and he listened to people and met them exactly where they were. And I think Ben did more important work than I did, because all I did was talk. Right? But he sat and he listened. And what the world needs now more than ever is for people to sit down face to face with one another and be the miracle in one another's life. So here is my challenge for you and for me. Jesus was a tangible human being in the midst of our world and sat down face to face with real people. And so this morning, what I want to invite you and me to do is this, is I know countless people at Oak Ridge and at Nick's, and especially at Oak Ridge, who would love for someone to come in and sit down and read with them Wilma Tippett told me that she really can't read like she would like to because she just can't see the words anymore. And no matter how much large print she gets, she would just love for someone to come and sit and read with her. And I think there are probably countless people at Oak Ridge who would love for someone just to come in and spend some time and sit and read with them. So friends, my challenge is this. In this Christmas season, what the world needs now more than ever is that you and I would show love face to face. So what if you took some time and created some margin and visited with those who don't get a whole lot of visits and spend some time face to face with them? Can we do that? I think we can.